You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Sam Norris, Seb Sanders and Andrew Mount in the studio. It's day three of the May meeting at Chester. Plenty more good stuff to look forward to there, including a Derby trial in the shape of the D Stakes. We've also got racing on the turf at Lingfield, over the obstacles at Market Raisin, and a very good evening as well, Ascot, Nottingham and Ripon. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
That's an absolute peach of an evening, isn't it? This is the thing, once it gets into the flat season, Fridays are by far my favourite days. They're not quite as manic as Saturday, and often they're a lot better. And you get some mouth-watering handicaps.
I mean, that is a very good Friday, because the May meeting's superb. I love Chester.
Yep.
You got all that to keep you entertained in the afternoon. And then when it usually gets a little bit of a lull after the big stuff, they hit you with Ascot. Ripon I really like, and Nottingham form seems to work out quite well. So,
and Dundalk and Kilbeggan as well.
Yeah, even more so, yeah.
Oh, if anything, too much.
Yeah, take it away. Done.
I take it back now. Change your mind.
We're going to have a little bit of a look back at the action at Chester on Thursday, and indeed Wednesday, if Ross has a strong opinion in the Oaks trial that took place there. And then we'll get stuck into Friday's action. But we'll start with the racing that's just happened, really, as we record this. And we'll start with the Chester Vars. Venice Beach leading home and Aidan O'Brien at 1-2-3, and has got a quote of 14-1 for the Derby on the back of that race that Aidan O'Brien has won en route to the Derby before as well, with Ruler of the World in the past. So what does Venice Beach say to you about Derby credentials?
I thought you were just going to say in general then. It says wonderful weather on the California coast.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, we're actually in a chilly studio in Leeds, but you can't have it all, can you? I really liked it. I think there's a lot to like about him. I think 14-1's. I think it's a little bit big.
Yeah, we didn't see a huge swell of support that I thought we would, or you know, I expected it to shorten more than it did.
Yeah, and I'm just having a look at the time as well. It looks very good. I'm just trying to convince myself. Yeah, I think it's a good race, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's worth having a look at, because I liked how he went about it at Tipperary. He's a horse who has to be rounded along every now and then, but once he came around the bend, everything else came swung wide, and he nipped down the inside rail, and he kept going and going. And then today, again, a track that you wouldn't necessarily think would suit given a horse of that run style. He's got a lovely position. Great ride, again, by Ryan Moore. Lovely position. But once he switched out, he just knew he was never going to get beaten. And I don't think he was necessarily at full capacity either.
Okay.
And you bear in mind that Churchill might not run.
Yeah.
Cracksman looked impressive at Epsom. And I think he'll be a worry, especially if he runs in the Dante and wins well. Cliffs of Moher is still a little bit of a question mark. Eminent and Barley Roy, really? Same price? Or shorter, even?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll go for it, but I still don't think he's good enough. And Barney Roy, will go for St. James's and then Judmont International.
There you go. Tempting enough.
log in before the end of this. What time is this podcast going out?
I'll wait until we're on if you want. Yeah, Venice Beach 14-1 then for the Derby. You can envisage him storming up the Poundland Hill, as we've heard news of today.
Well,
that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, well, as the well-worded marketing blurb said, it is a race for everyone.
Yeah,
the Derby.
Yeah,
and I'll be honest with you, Mark. I myself nipped into Poundland earlier and purchased several nuts and seeds. So Not just like individually.
Yeah.
They were in packets.
Is it expensive if it's a pound a seed?
It is, yeah, yeah.
this place is extortionate.
Well, you don't know where they're going to grow.
Yeah. Well, beanstalk.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. They're selling beans. Down my local Poundland, you can get a beanstalk for a pound.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You have to swap it for a cow. Yeah, I liked it.
That's Cowland.
Sorry, that's Cowland, isn't it? Oh, I'm always getting confused. No, I think he's. I think 14-1 seems a pretty good price.
Yeah. What about the Oaks picture then? On the back of Enable's victory in the Cheshire Oaks, Enable is an 11-2 shot, third favourite in the market at the moment for the Oaks. Were you impressed?
Yeah, reasonably. Yeah. Albeit the Cheshire Oaks is often weaker than the Vars in terms of future engagements. But again, it's another race where there's not a great deal to get overly excited about. To be honest with you, I haven't investigated the Oaks enough to have a strong opinion. But beat a rock-solid rival and beat it well. So, yeah, impossible not to be impressed. And another trial win for John Gosden.
We're recording this towards the end of day two of the May meeting. We're going to obviously look at day three in a moment or two. At this point, Ross, anything else you want to mention from Chester?
Not really. Only Hodes wins, I thought, ran a really nice race at the Chester Cup. I think he's definitely one to keep on the right side and stay in handicaps.
Everybody was onto that, weren't they, as well?
Yeah.
That he had a chance.
Well, I looked at the day before and I thought, oh, he'll have a chance. And then I woke up the next morning and was like, crikey, O'Reilly.
Yeah.
But apart from that, no, nothing to get overly excited about. I didn't think the first... Well, I don't think there's anything that massively stood out.
Okay. Deauville winning the Huxley Stakes as well, by the way.
Mm.
Apparently, on the back of that, they're going to target the big international races. Do you think he's up to that kind of thing?
Oh, I think he's certainly worth a chance. Yeah, the likes of Tattersall Gold Cup in particular, I think, will be a good stepping stone for him. He got the run of the race, but he's not done a great deal wrong, really. So, yeah, why not?
All right, good stuff. That's the first 2 days boxed off, then. Let's move on to the third day of the May Festival at Chester. Everything's a festival now, isn't it? I liked calling it the May Meeting.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of alliteration.
You are, yeah. And meetings. You prefer meetings to festivals, which is a very weird...
Nobody does. Nobody prefers that, surely.
No, it's a very weird opinion, isn't it?
Yeah, you come to the festival. No, no, I've actually got a board meeting.
I've got a meeting, and I much prefer that.
Right, let's move on anyway. Day three of the Chester May Festival.
There you go.
We're going to look at the first four races on the card on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, first race on the Friday is the Earl Grosvenor Handicap. It's at 150, 7 furlongs, the extended 7 furlongs. Is the trip for this one, 14 of them in the lineup in the market at the time of recording this, headed by El Hayem, who is 5-2. It's 7-1 Rene Mathis. Sound Advice 12-1, Ice Slice 12s, as is Gabriel's Kakar and Calder Prince. 14-1 Hillbilly Boy Intransigence and Michelle Strogoff. Call Out Loud also 14-1 there, and 16s or bigger for the others. So barring El Hayem, the market's quite wide open.
Yes, albeit the right favourite without a shadow of a doubt. Good return at Newbury for a horse who had some decent form last year. The horse he beat at Doncaster in the shape of Bergios won at Leicester the other night. He ran into Sir Roderick, and he ran in a very hot handicap at Ascot in the middle of July as well, where he was beaten by a stable mate. I thought it was a really nice run behind Banksy in the Spring Cup. Didn't really get going and looked like he needed the run, but still caught the eye with the way he came home. So he's drawn in box two. I think he'd be very, very hard to beat. Calder Prince went on the notebook last time out. He finished fourth, setting a furious pace over at Haydock and couldn't get home, but he's drawn 14, so he's going to struggle from there. So the big rival, I think the one who looks overpriced, is Ice Slice for James Eustace, who hasn't had a winner recently, but this horse absolutely rattled through the grades last year. Went from a mark of 72 to winning off 91 here at Chester. He wasn't beaten that far at Nottingham behind George William, but he's got good course form and he's nicely drawn here. So I think Ice Slice is definitely worth bearing in mind.
Do you play Ice Slice each way, or do you play both of them against the field? Or?
I'd back both. Yeah, I'd back El Hayem and Ice Slice. Yeah.
All right, fair enough. A couple to consider then in the 150 at Chester. The second race is the 225, the D Stakes, a listed race over a mile and a quarter. Again, a derby trial at, on the Rudy there. We've got Cliffs of Moher at the top of the market at 4-6. 4-1 for Mirage Dancer, 13-2 Bay of Poets, 16-1 Star of Rory, and 25-1 or bigger prices for the others. This kind of fits the Aidan O'Brien wide margin winner running in a race at Chester. Obvious Derby credentials moulded, doesn't it, at 4-6?
Yeah, totally, yeah. And he beat a good yardstick in the shape of Order of the Garter last time out, who's since hacked up at Leopardstown, and he did it very impressively. He looked a bit of a handful before the race, but yeah, he could really make his stamp on the market here in a, admittedly, not a very good race, I don't think, for the grade. Mirage Dancer is very, very well bred, but I wasn't overly impressed with his form at the back end of the season, albeit, again, definite going to be improvement this season, given his pedigree. And Bay of Poets, we've seen being a beater behind Cracksman at Epsom, albeit, again, he shaped encouragingly and there should be more to come. But as far as the, yeah, as far as the, you know, the past races of this as well, it's not going to take that much winning, I don't think. And it's hard to oppose Cliffs of Moher, really. It's hard to get carried away with anything else in opposition. The potential one who could outrun his odds is Star of Rory, who's well-drawn, went very close to springing a surprise at Haydock behind Frankus, and then things just didn't really go to plan at Epsom. But it's not a race I want to get heavily involved in because I don't want to take on the favourite, really.
Okay. Cliffs of Moher, 8-1 in the market for the Derby already. Should he go and win that?
I'd rather have 100 quid on it, 8-1, and rather than 100 at 4-6, you know, like on tomorrow. So
yeah,
because I think he will win tomorrow, and even if he wins by a head, he'll probably still be shortened, as is the anti-post market these days, especially in races like the Derby, where just proving you've trained on is enough to get you shortened.
Yeah, yeah. And there has been a Derby when he come out of the race in the past, Chris Kinn, all the way back in 2003. Perhaps this year will be the year that we get another one, if Cliffs of Moher's reputation's anything to go by. Anywho, let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Chester. Class 2 handicap over 5 furlongs. Market headed by Rich and Famous at the time of recording this at 4-1. It's 11-2 for both Tomalee and Evergate. Copper Knight 13-2, 7-1 Rosabelle and Partitia. 9-1 Megan Lilly, 10-1 Bar Those. What are your thoughts there?
I'll take a chance with Copper Knight here, who won the Lily Agnes at this track last season for Hugo Palmer, then went backwards and looked like a horse who'd was going to struggle to train on, but I thought it was a very good reappearance. I mean, they picked him up for $5,000. He won half of that back at Ripon for finishing second to Jack Flash. He had a very strong time. The third Logie came out and ran a good solid race over 6 furlongs the other day at Ayr behind a progressive type in Burris Yule Abbey. And not badly drawn again here in four. Tim Easterby's horses are invariably improving for the run, although again, he could do with more winners if you were going to be particularly pernickety, which is a good name for a racehorse. As for the others, badly drawn, but I'm going to keep an eye on Castleacre. She just keeps running in races where things don't work out for her. She was far too keen over 7 at the back end of last season, and she was drawn in the wrong place. She was drawn in 1 when everything came down the near side rail at Newmarket. She's drawn in 9, but she's double figure odds, so I'll probably end up backing her just in case things do change. Again, if they get any rain whatsoever, Chester will change overnight. So, so Copper Knight former Hugo Palmer and Castleacre, who is Hugo Palmer. She's a very keen filly, and they're dropping her to 5 furlongs, which I don't think is a bad move, but that draw might be a problem.
Again, both against field?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, again, not mad keen on backing things each way at Chester, because half the time, if you do get beat, it's because things don't work out at all.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. 13-2 and 12-1 respectively, Copper Knight and Castleacre. Final race we look at is the 3:35, the Boodle's Diamond Ormond Stakes. This is a Group 3 over 1 mile and 5 furlongs for the older horses, and it looks a bit of a humdinger of a renewal as well. US Army Ranger 9-4 at the top of the market. Midterm 4-1. Red Verdon 8-1. Bit of a shortening up there, Red Verdon as well. 10s into 8s. 9-1 Western Hymn. 9-1 Winning Story. Diamonds Pomoir is 10-1 and 11-1 Bar Those. Some very nice horses in a Group 3 contest here.
This is possibly the most competitive Ormond Stakes we've ever seen, I think. Chester, given how the usual renewals go. And I thought Doretto looked a little overpriced. The good thing about this race is that the hotly fancied talented horses at the top of the betting are all badly drawn. So
yeah,
this market could change and the race could be a bit of an infuriating one for those. US Army Ranger, of course, stamped his authority last year here at Chester, but has had a very frustrating career since then. Midterm was a beaten favourite at Newbury behind Munterhahn. Again, is another one who started life last year looking like a very good horse to follow, but has just struggled. But again, they are having their sights lowered.
Yes.
Since most of their runs last year. Western Hymns, very hard to win with. Red Verdon has some very good form on his Globetrotter exploits. Winning Story broke the track record at Lingfield last time out, but they don't have many over that trip. Diamond's Paul Moore's got a bit more to offer. We haven't seen a great deal of her, and she improved to win at the back end of last season. Two I would take a chance with, as I said, the aforementioned Doretto, and the other one is Wall of Fire. Doretto, the yard are just getting into top form now, Andrew Baldings. I just really like him. I've always liked Doretto since he progressed from handicaps and into winning a Group 3 at the back end of last season at Newbury. He's got good form around here at Chester as well. He was second to the talented Munterhahn in a listed handicap. He's perfectly drawn in four and he should go close. And the other one is Wall of Fire, who was quite heavily backed last time out at Nottingham, but very fast ground, not necessarily ideal for Wall of Fire, and was just beaten by Elidor. Again, a bit more of a straight might suit Wall of Fire a little bit more, but they both look overpriced in, as you said, what looks a very good race.
Yeah. The draw is going to be a massive thing as well, obviously, like you've mentioned. I've been waiting for Midterm to have his sights lowered a little bit to see if he could bounce back, because he went off 6-4, I think it was, for the Dante.
Yeah.
And he looked full of potential. Things haven't quite gone right for him, but he's installed 12. Can't see him winning from there. US Army Ranger, obviously second in the Derby. Again, things have gone wrong for him. He's been given stall 9, so...
I mean, admittedly, Ryan Moore is riding Chester like a demon this week. Yeah. So if anyone can get the US Army Ranger into a position from 9, it is him.
Yeah.
But Midterm winning from 12 would be quite a performance.
It would, yeah. Yeah. A couple against the field then, again, for Ross there, for the... Now in form, Andrew Baldings, who's had a good week at Chester. And you think Hugo Palmer could have a pretty good day then, by the sounds of things?
Yeah, it would appear so, yeah. Mm. Again, he's a trainer I have a lot of time for.
Yeah, yeah, very good trainer. Quick summary then, Ross, before you go. We'll just have a little recap of these selections before you leave.
Yep.
Spin us through them, if you would.
El Hayam and I Slice in the opener. Cliffs of Moher, I think, will win the D Stakes. I think Copper Knight and Castleacre in the 5 furlong race. And Doretto and Wall of Fire in the Ormond. It certainly looks a significantly more competitive day 3 than 1 and 2 have been.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks a belting day. Thank you very much, Ross. Good luck. And
shake my hand, Mark.
On Friday. We're shaking hands. That's good. There you go, Ross Briley, looking ahead to day 3 of the Chester May Festival. Then all that to look forward to, alongside Lingfield and Market Raisin in the afternoon and Ascot Nottingham and Ripon in the evening. And as if all that wasn't enough, we might even try and squeeze in some of the Irish action from Dundalk and Kilbeggan as well. That's all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Sam Norris, Seb Sanders and Andrew Mount in the studio. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.